Blog Talk Radio.
Some friends you gain, some you lose. In the back of your mind, you're looking for love, but found the blues. That's why I've come from far away, to take away the blues. And I've come to say, I wanna be more than just somebody. I wanna be more than just a friend. I wanna be more than someone special, 'cause special friends sometimes they won't understand. Now we can laugh and share the pain, all of the tears, and joy is gain. When all others fail to show, I hope you believe and always know.
All that I send into the lives of others comes back into my own. Good morning to my listeners. I am so excited to be with you this morning. I am broadcasting out of New Milford, Connecticut, and we are experiencing a gorgeous, beautiful, sunny Thursday morning. All the trees are lusciously green, and it's just a beauty to see God work and just all the amazing things that He does for us. It was just a few weeks ago we were looking at branches, bare branches, and to look out now and to see all the luscious green leaves and all the birds are flying from one branch to another. It is just an amazing morning here. Yes, I am the queen of the empowered soul, and we have a special segment for you this morning. I apologize that we were supposed to have Dr. Richard Norris out of Scotland on. Unfortunately, there's an emergency and he is not able to join us this morning. But I am sure you will get the opportunity to listen to Dr. Norris in the weeks to come. However, all is not lost because I have my amazing sister and friend, Jennifer Searle. And Jennifer will be joining me at the second half of this morning's show. And Jennifer will be discussing her new book. And you don't want to miss that story. You want to come on, you want to listen about Jennifer's new book and learn about where you can pick up your copy, because the official launch of her book is on June the 10th, and you want to be able to pick your copy up so that when you get to the conference in September, she can autograph that for you. So I'm excited about Jennifer's book. Well, for the first portion until Jennifer joins us at 11, we will be discussing our self-talk and our programs. And I am sure that we are all a work in progress and that we can use some tuning up. So I'll be working with you this morning from a book by Dr. Shad Hemstetter. And you all have heard Shad on the show in the past. Shad is the founder of the Life Coach Institute. And he is, I like to call him, the great granddaddy of coaching, because before coaching was popular, Shad was already working on that. His first book that captivated my attention and the work that he is doing is the book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself. And I, if you have not yet read it, I encourage you to pick a copy of that book up. So the second powerful book I have of Shad's is Who We Are and What Do You Really Want? Who you are and really, and what do you want? We ask that question all the time. So let's delve into this until Jennifer joins us. Your self-talk and your programs. Change your self-talk and you will change your programs. Change your programs and you will change your life. Now, I will speak slowly because oftentimes I get into going too quickly and I do not say it slowly enough for you to write it. However, I promise you I will do my best to go slowly. But before I go into that, I want to encourage you to call in. I have the chat room up as well. The call-in number is 646-915-8166. And I want to take this opportunity to remind you that the Vision Weekend Conference 2010 has been pushed back for September the 3rd and 4th, with registration beginning at 3 p.m. on the 2nd. However, our vendors and exhibitors will be set up from 8 a.m. on the 2nd, and they will have an opportunity to open the exhibit hall officially at 4 p.m. So we will have them, the vendors, from 4 p.m. until the 4th, when the conference ends. So you want to be utilizing this opportunity to expose your businesses, service, and our products. So check the website out at visionconference.com and you'll see all the information there on that website. It will still take place at the Heritage in Southbury, Heritage Golf and Spa. It is an amazing, beautiful property. So you need to treat yourself to that. So let us talk about self and self-talk. To help you understand who you are and how you can reach your goals, it will help to know how the success mechanism that guides us really works. There is a reason some people are successful in their lives and other people are not. It has to do with their programming. Here is how it works. Like a powerful personal computer, your brain is designed to store and act on programs you receive. From the moment you were born, every message you have ever received has been recorded chemically and electrically in neural parts of your brain. Everything you ever heard, seen, said, or done has been stored permanently in the mental computer. Every message you receive from your parents, your brothers, your sisters, your friends, your teachers at school, television, world around you, every message you receive was programmed into your brain. In many ways, your brain is like a supercomputer. There are differences, of course, but like a computer, your brain stores the messages and get programmed into it, and then it acts on the input it has received. Imagine that if when each of us arrive on earth as a newborn baby, there was a small computer keyboard strapped to our little chest. Unfortunately, at some point during the excitement of our arrival, the sign got knocked off the top of the keyboard, the sign that used to read, "Warning, everything you type into this child's mental computer will be stored for life and acted on as though it's true." Instead of arriving armed with all important instructions that should have given right away to our new programmers, our parents, teachers, friends at school, and finally to each of us, we came with no instructions, guidelines for how to program the wonderful mechanism called the human brain. It is as if we helplessly held our little keyboards out of the world, all unsuspecting and innocent, and said, "Here, Mom, here, Dad, here, world. Tell me who I am. Tell me how high I can climb and how far I can go and how much I can do with the unlimited potential in front of me. Type for me. since I can't yet do it for myself, the picture of me I'm going to become. Our parents and teachers and friends did the best they could, but they didn't know what we now know about how we get programmed from birth. The truth about programming. A curious but important fact of the human brain is that it is designed to accept whatever we put into it. Whether what we put into it is true or not, the brain, like a giant computer storage center, is designed to take in whatever we give it. Whether it's true, false, good, bad, right, wrong, positive, or negative, whatever is typed into our computer keyboard, our five senses, our brain stores permanently, and what it is told most, it automatically accepts as truth. Susie, you are going to grow up to be chubby, just like you, Aunt Harriet. Tommy, you never tell the truth. I can never believe a thing you say. Jason is mommy's little chatterbox. Christy, you are so clumsy, you'll never be a ballerina. Kevin, you are going to sleep your entire life away. Thomas Edward, you are just like your father. You are never amounting to anything. Sometimes I wish you had never been born. Audrey, can't you do anything right? Cheryl, you don't care a thing about your grades. You never have and never will. Ricky, you, president, that will be the day. Now, as you listen to me read all those remarks and comments, I'm sure you're asking yourself, oh my heavens, have I ever said or done that to anyone? Have I? And I'm sure we all have done that occasionally. Sometimes we have said things that not too kosher. And we have to catch ourselves and learn how to counteract and erase those things. You know, we have to try and build on those things. Our conscious minds might not accept those kinds of programs, at least not at first. But the storage center of our brain is taking them in just the same. In time, how we see ourselves, what we think, what we believe, what we accept as the truth, are all the result of the programs we got. That means all of those messages you and I got when we were growing up are actually programs that are still there. And we are still living with them today. But it goes beyond that. Behavioral research have told us that during the first 18 years of our lives, if we grew up in a reasonable, positive home, you and I were told no, or what we could not do, more than 148,000 times. I happen to believe that's a low estimate. A lot of the messages we got weren't even spoken out loud. You know, like that look we got at the dinner table when company had come over, or the parent who didn't show up for some event that he or she should have attended. We all got messages, spoken and unspoken, tens of thousands of them. All too many of them were the wrong kind. Getting the message again and again. But whether it was hundred times we were told that we were not good at, or that we weren't smart enough or strong enough, or many times more than that, we eventually got the message. We didn't even have to know we had gotten it. Our computer brains did not have a special warning beep. That goes off every time a negative message comes in. Our brain just program it in and goes on about its business. Message after message, day after day, year after year. Of course, we can be thankful for this. Not all of the message we got were bad. Some of them were good, but with most of us, the truth is that when it came to being born as brilliant sparks of creation, ready to light up our lives with the fire of exceptional achievement, we got more messages that diminished us than those that breathe life into the fire of our own potential. I know some people whose fires went out before they were even got out of school, and they never figured out how to light them back. The people around us didn't try to get us the wrong programs, of course. They were just handing down to us the programs that they had received themselves. The programs we get, the programs we got then created the self-talk we have now. The programming we got as children was just the beginning. While we continue blissfully unaware along our way, we continue to get programmed by every person around us. Never mind that, we didn't ask the people in the world around us to give us those programs. Their opinions, they happily gave them to us again. They somehow thought it was their right to project their negative programs onto our potential promising path. Even as adults, we are surrounded by people who think it is their responsibility to share their questionable programs with us. Obviously, our Creator intend that the people who program us would love us, want to nurture us, figure out what they were doing and get it right. Unfortunately, there are people in this world who didn't get it right. Meanwhile, as we got older, our computers clicked in and we ourselves begin to duplicate and repeat the same programs that we had gotten from the world around us, and we became our own number one programmer, repeating the messages for ourselves. The way the programming process works in the human brain, we automatically duplicate and repeat the strongest of the programs we receive from everyone else. Although many of the hundreds of thousands of programs we got from the rest of the world were exactly the wrong programs, we began to repeat those same programs as our own. Our own self-talk became a reflection of the strongest programs we already carried around within us. So those programs that we duplicate and repeated thought after thought, day after day, got stronger and stronger. The more we repeated them, to do this, all you have to do is to think the same thought again or see the same picture again in your mind, or even feel the same emotion again, and click, you have just added another program to defile. Every time they are repeated, the old programs get stronger until they become an automatic and unconscious part of what we think and how we think. The result is litany of self-talk, which is also negative and all too familiar. When I wrote the book, What to Say When You Talk to Yourself, I included a list of 100 of the most negative self-talk phrases people use without even thinking about it. And here's an example. Nothing ever goes right for me. Some people have all the luck. Everything I eat goes into my waist. I'm just no good at that. I get sick this time every year. Why me? I'm so stupid. Another Blue Monday. I've tried to lose weight, but nothing works for me. Nobody likes me. I can't remember names. I'm just not creative. I never have enough time. My desk is always messy. Sometimes I just hate myself. I'm too shy. I never have that to say. I can never afford the things I want. I'm such a wimp. I'll be lucky if I am not proud. I can't do anything about it. It is just the way I am. I just can't seem to make ends meet. Why even bother? It's just not my day, and on and on and on and on. You see, a lot of times we say these things, and we You oftentimes hear people say, oh, but I'm only joking. And you need to realize that the universe does not know when you are joking or when you're serious. So whatever you speak out there, the universe is going to take it as fact and they're going to work on it. Work on it. So be cautious. Watch your words, because know that on top of all the things that we are programmed with already, we begin to repeat them and to give them strength. And before you know it, you are just living that kind of a life that you wanted to get away from. Are those really the kinds of self-direction that fill our computers and manage our minds? Unfortunately, yes, they are. It's not that some of those things we say about ourselves aren't true. By now, most of them probably are. But what do you suppose made them that way? Also, unsettling is the recognition that for every one of those kinds of rather minor expressions we hear ourselves say, there are thousands of other programs just as negative hiding beneath the surface. It is those hidden programs that are often the strongest of all. These are the programs that determine our self-esteem or self-confidence, our attitudes, our beliefs, and most of our actions. The result is that the sum total of our programs, whatever they are, positive, negative, or neutrally, influence or controls most everything about us. When we recognize the impact of that in our lives, we begin to understand the answer to the question. They are some people successful and some people are not. Researchers have told us that as much as 77% of the programs we carry with us are negative. Can you imagine? 77%. Counterproductive or work against us. Not everyone is that bad off, of course. But then, look around you. I know people who are failing so completely in their lives that it looks as though nearly all of their programs are the wrong programs. In every case, when you study a person carefully, you will always find that the person's best failure is ultimately the result of that individual's programs. A walk through self-talk park. What we are talking about is not theory. It is medical, neurological, scientific fact. Today, with the help of medical computer imaging technology, we can even watch the programming process at work in the neuron structure of the brain. While it happens, without going into a seminar or of the brain, I will simplify the process and how you and show you how it works. To do that, I'd like you to imagine that you are taking a walk in a place I call Self-Talk Park. The park you are visiting is quite large, and between the widely spaced trees, it is covered with lush green grass. When you first see the park, there are no paths there yet. No one has walked there before. The first time you walk through the park, you notice that even though you are walking through the grass, you are not leaving much of a trail. You have only passed by that way once. The next time you visit the park and walk through the park, you follow the same route again, but still you didn't leave much of a trail. However, as you begin to visit the park more often, each time following the same route, you start to notice you can see a slight trail, the beginning of a pathway. Later, and each time you walk through Self-Talk Park, you will automatically follow your new pathway. And now, today, because you have walked over the same pathway so often, it has become clearly defined. By now, you can walk on it without even having to think about where you are going. You can walk through Self-Talk Park without even being conscious of what you are where you are walking, without thinking about the path you have carved deeper into the grass with every step you take. There's no question about where to go in time. It has obviously become the clearest path to follow. Now, let's say that self-talk is really the programming area of our brain. The first time you get a new message programmed into your brain, it doesn't leave much of an impression. Just like the first time you walk through the grass in the imagery park. But as you receive the same program again, and then again, the pathway begins to become clearer. The program becomes stronger each time. The same or similar program is repeated. You are actually seeing chemical nutrients to specific neural pathways in your brain. And those pathways grow and become stronger and stronger, like building of asphalt highway layer by layer. Pathways become walkways. Walkways become roadways. Roadways become highways. Highways become superhighways, the smallest program repeated often enough creates stronger and stronger programs until, in time, they become super programs. Why is Daryl so negative? It's where he walked in Self-Talk Park. It's the result of the program he got, repeated so often that they became the paths Daryl would automatically follow for the rest of his life. Why is Laura constantly fighting her weight, even though there's nothing physically wrong with her? It was an earlier path she learned to follow, and one on which she continues to walk, even today. Why is Billy having problems in school? Why can't Ken get a better job? Why does Eileen have trouble with every man she dates? Why is Peter so negative? Why do you and I do what we do? And why don't we do what we know we should be doing? We all started out walking through Self-Talk Park, and all of us are walking there still. Here's hope for us yet. We can change our programs. When I discovered that our futures, in fact, our entire lives, were up to the dictates of our programming, mostly the wrong programming, I could have gotten discouraged. But fortunately, my research didn't end there. It was apparent that there are people who had learned how not to only survive, but also to excel. In spite of their programs, I reasoned that if they could do it, then there's hope for the rest of us. Okay, we had a bit of technical difficulties, and technology has a mind of its own. So I am here. I'm going to be waiting on my guest to call in, Jennifer Sertl, who will be discussing her new book. And prior to the technical challenge, we were discussing our self-talk and the impact that our life programs has on our life. So I pray that information was beneficial for you, and that you can help to use that to turn your life around. So I want to just thank everyone for listening to that, and I pray that you got something out of that. And I can't wait to get into conversation with Jennifer, because she's such a phenomenal person with an amazing story. You heard her story here already on the radio of some months back. She is an amazing woman who is doing a great work into the lives of every person. So I just so excited about our segment today, and I want to go ahead and remind you about the Vision Weekend Conference. You can check the website out at visionweekendconference.com. And we encourage you to attend this amazing conference that, which is designed specifically for entrepreneurs and small business people to help you to shape your vision for greater success. We will have bankers there. We will have people there who can talk to you about securing government funding for your green businesses, for those who will make the decision to convert our businesses to green businesses. We can secure government funding that can help us to grow and expand our business and take our business to the next level. And, you know, it is not a difficult undertaking to operate a green lifestyle or a green business. We understand, you know, those of us who grew up in the West Indies or grew up poor, if you look back then, you know that back then our parents were operating green lifestyle. You know, they didn't waste anything. Things was utilized. Everything was utilized, leftovers and all those things. That's the simple practices. And then we can go back to that lifestyle in order to help to save our environment. So we will have experts there who will be discussing with you how to do that. And you are not only be growing your business, you'll be preserving the environment as well. So again, the date for the conference is on September the 3rd and 4th, with registrations beginning on the 2nd. We'll have our exhibitors up for the 2nd, and they will officially open the exhibit hall at 4 p.m. so that we can go in there and support them, listen to what they have to tell you. We'll also have the radio station all set up, and we can get into conversations with the entrepreneurs and vendors that we have there, so people can learn more about what they're doing and how they are doing it. Because as I mentioned yesterday, is that the world economy and the turnaround of that has a great role in our lives as entrepreneurs. It is our responsibility to make an impact, a positive impact in there. And we all, yes, we are risk takers, but the beauty about that, we have the ability to stick to whatever we do. Stick-to-itiveness. We just have that. And entrepreneurs are people that go to the end. We don't give up halfway. We don't stop in the middle. We just go all the way with whatever it is that we are committed to doing. And the beauty about that is that we can no longer just look around in our own neighborhoods for support. The world is our marketplace, because with the effectiveness of social media and the internet, you know, my being on the radio here is a true example of that. We can just reach out to the world and we can get the support that we need. So go out there, you know, take a risk on yourself. Come to the conference, get connected, get a mentor, talk to people, understand how they did what they are doing. How did they build a business to the multi-million dollar mark and solar business? So you are going to come there, you're going to learn not only strategies on building your business, but you'll also be able to talk with people who had a great exit strategy in place for some selling their company, and they did just that, and they are there to share their stories with you, with all of us, to help us to know where to take our business. So I want to remind you that you can call in when Jennifer gets on, and call and ask her some questions about her book. And the book will be launched on June the 10th. And we'll have 30 minutes when she comes on, and we will work towards getting as much in about the book, because you can read up on the blog about her. So we're just going to spend that time discussing the book and, you know, who is the book for, and all of that. We are just going to discuss all of that, and you'll have a clear understanding about what the book is, and how you can get it, and all the things that you will be able to gain from that book. So it is just an amazing time in the arena of entrepreneurship. It is going to be a great year. 2010 will be a great year for all of us as entrepreneurs. And we will not be able to give up on that. We have to stick to what it is that we are set out to do. We cannot give up in the middle. This is why, for example, my being on this radio show is an opportunity to help other entrepreneurs to just reach into what it is that they are doing, and to just help them to make their business better. And I'm committed, like you heard me mention at the opening of the show, when I mentioned about what I put into the lives of others comes back into my own life. And each and every one of us needs to think about that. You know, what we put into the lives of others will come back into our own lives. And we need to just concentrate on that and helping other people. Helping other people, and help them to grow their business in whatever way that we can. And, you know, as we invest in others, we will grow our business as well. And so we need to begin to focus on helping other people build their businesses. And in the process, ours will grow. You know, it is an amazing thing when we sow seeds in other people's lives. And before long, we are going to be reaping the benefit of those seeds that we sow. I want to remind you that you can call in 646-915-8166. And any minute now, our guest should be joining us. And we are just so excited about her new book. She spent a lot of time getting this book together, and I know it is going to be off the hook. So any minute now, we're going to have Jennifer Sertl calling in, and we are going to be discussing all about her new book. So remember, the number to call if you are looking to join the conversation, I want you to call 646-915-8166. 646-915-8166. And you know, come with your pads, listen with your pads, pens and papers, because I am sure that you will learn something that will help you to build your business and possibly to write your first book as well. I know that I've been learning a lot from her. I am excited about this new project as well. So the website for the Vision Weekend Conference is visionweekendconference.com. And I want to tell you also to follow us closely. You know, visit our site for the radio show on blogtalkradio.com/Daphne-Clark-Hudson. Mark the show favorite, and you will become a friend as well, and you will be reminded each time that we are having a segment. You will be reminded who our guests are, and so you can join into the conversation. And if you have guests that you are thinking would be a match or a great fit for this show, I encourage you to please send me their telephone number or their email, or you can give mine to them, and I will have them on the show to share their stories. So we're waiting on my guest, Jennifer Sertl, to call in and to discuss her new book. So just hang there with me. You can call in if you have any questions in between. As I wait for her, please call in at 646-915-8166. Again, 646-915-8166. Eleanor Roosevelt wrote, "If you approach each new person in a spirit of adventure, you will find yourself endlessly fascinated by the new channel of thought and experience a personality that you encounter. The smallest deed is better than the greatest intention. Don't sit around and think, oh, you're waiting for the perfect time to begin to do something. Because just sitting around and thinking about it will not help you. Take time to work. It is the price of success. Take time to think. It is the source of power. Take time to play. It is the secret of perpetual youth. Take time to be friendly. It is the road to happiness. Take time to love and be loved. It is a privilege of the gods. Take time to share. Life is too short to be selfish. Take time to laugh. Laughter is the medicine of the soul. And, you know, each of us, we need to get into the two habits I diligently request of people. Each and every opportunity that I get is journaling and daily affirmation or meditation and prayer. Yesterday, I had Dr. Barnsley Brown on, and those were some of the things that she mentioned as well. So we have the power, you know, as I was discussing about our self-talk, there are so many habits and practices that we have that is really not contributing to the quality of our lifestyle. So if we can just turn the things around that we do, we will be experiencing an amazing, amazing lifestyle. To live in hearts we leave behind is not to die. And that's a quote from Thomas Campbell. God grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change. The courage to change the things I can. And the wisdom to know the difference. Each situation that we encounter, we need to step back and view it from this perspective. You know what stand we take on that. And as I was discussing in my small group at church last night, I was discussing that we cannot change anyone. We can only change ourselves. We can only change who we are. You know, each and every one of us are our own responsibilities. So let us remember that always. Don't spend a lot of time working on changing the next person. Excuse me. We need to just concentrate on us and, you know, look in the mirror more often, because when we concentrate on that person in the mirror, I just took a sip of water. When we concentrate on that person in the mirror, majority of our issues will be resolved because we are our responsibility. So we need to concentrate and focus on that. You can make more friends in 2 months by becoming interested in other people than you can make in 2 years by trying to get other people interested in you. Ain't that the truth? We all need to focus on adding value. How can we add value? How can we add value? What can we do to make a difference in somebody else's life? What can we do? We need to slow down and ask ourselves that question each and every day, because there is something we can always do. Always something. It's just that we have not been looking far enough. Keep looking. There's always something we can do. That one little thing, you know? We can pick up the telephone, we can call somebody, and we can let them know how we feel. You know, we can send a little note card expressing our feeling towards them and what they have done for us, that we remember good kindness that they had demonstrated to us. We as a people need to spend more time lifting each other up. Don't get so much self-centered. You know, yes, taking care of ourselves is important. However, we also need to remember that we need to lift and elevate other people up as we do those things. We can help others understand about the importance of caring for themselves as well. You know, I'm not saying that we should not take care of ourselves and focus on that. We need to do that. And we also need to help others. You know, I went to get my nails done a couple of days ago. And I walked into this place and I was amazed, because I looked over the section where they have the pedicure chairs. And what you know, they had pedicure chairs for little people, little children. Then a lady walked in and her son needed his eyebrows waxed. And I looked at her, and he's 14. She says, "Yes, don't you know that the kids now want to have their eyebrows waxed?" And I said, "Oh my heavens, all of these children are now becoming responsible." But I said to her, "You know something? It's a good thing, because each of these children are learning from early on in life how to begin to take care of themselves." Because even, and I oftentimes say that even adult women are not sometimes committed to taking care of themselves, because they weren't brought up that way. They grew up knowing about taking care of everyone else and neglect themselves. But we need to know that until we learn to take care of ourselves, we are not in a situation to take care of anybody else, because that service that we give to others will not be authentically who we are. It will be just in a rush, and we feel as if we are under obligation to do what we do for other people. So, I want to maybe continue on here, because it is now, we have 17 minutes remaining, and maybe Jennifer has gotten tied up and she is not able to call in. However, if she calls in, we will still do whatever minutes is left. So let's talk about continue discussing programs. I was going through those things and filling in the time to wait until she calls. the programs you have now. Before I show you how to change the programs you got, I will help you to find out what some of those programs are right now. To do that, I'm going to ask you some of the kinds of questions I would be asking you if I were coaching you individually. These are questions your personal coach might ask you to help you get to know you better. As you read each question, take time to actually formulate a clear answer in your mind. It will help if you read each question twice. Some of the most important things will you learn as we go along will come from the answer you give. So the clearer your answers are, the more you learn about yourself. Here's the quiz about your programs. One. Okay, well, Miss Jennifer called in. Well, good morning, Miss Jennifer. How are you?
Oh, I have to tell you, Daphne, thank you so much. And I just got done with my last meeting, and I'm so glad to be here. And I've got amazing news for you.
Okay, good. So we only have 15 minutes.
Okay.
So we are going to do what we can with the 15 minutes. So we are going to delve into the book because we want to get some word out about the book. As I mentioned before you came on, people can read up about you on the blog. But let's spend this time about the book.
Well, Daphne, thank you. Can I just tell you, hot off the press, that today I actually went to my office and the books were there. So I'm actually seeing it for the very first time.
Oh, my heavens, and you're holding it in your hands. Congratulations.
I'm holding it in my hands, and I'll make sure to send you a link. And for you all in the audience, what I want to share with you is that the cover of the book is a lighthouse, and you can see the lighthouse and light shining from the inside out. And the entire message of our book is pretty much, may you never read another business book again, because so many times you're told what to plug and play and try this technique and try that technique. And our message is simply that to navigate the complexity of today's marketplace, people have to trust their own judgment more. So how does that fit into what you've been talking about already today?
Well, I was kind of bouncing back and forth because what I was focusing on the time that I had prior to you coming, I was focusing on our self-talks, those we give to ourselves and the ones that people give to us. So I was talking on programming our self-talk and our programming, and then I was just going to go into some of the things that we could do to change those around, and I look on the board and here you were. So, and I know that this is short time will not give justice to the book, so we are going to have you back to talk about it. But who is this book designed for? Who is it written for, Jennifer?
Okay, so Strategy, Leadership, and the Soul is written for small business owners and individuals that realize that they have the power to make a difference. And when it comes to the self-talk, one of the things that I would love people to realize is that if they focus on their contribution and not on if their contribution is good enough or not, their ability to create value will go higher and higher. So, for instance, if I care to leave an imprint about my reliability, my innovation, and my, let's see, well, even just taking reliability and innovation, I can then just focus on how can I become more reliable? How can I become more innovative? Okay, so that people, instead of focusing on what they are or what they're not, mm-hmm. they can actually begin to practice being clear on what they desire to become.
Mm-hmm.
And by naming it,
mm-hmm.
and then by looking at how can I be more of that, I think people will create a more reliable blueprint,
mm-hmm.
if you will.
Well, this is an on-time book. And one of the things I was telling the listeners earlier on, that they want to be here listening to you because they want to pick their copy up early so that when they make it to the conference, they can have it autographed by you. So that's one of the things I mentioned out there. So I want you to go ahead. We only have 11 minutes.
Okay.
I would like for you
mm-hmm.
to go ahead and tell the link to people. I would love to extend the time, but honestly, I do not know how to do that when
okay.
I have someone on the air, and I apologize for that. And I just check in to see whether there was a technician on who could
okay.
do that for me, and they said to leave an email, which is not going to help us now, so...
That's fine. Yeah, so Agility3R, people can go to www.agility3r.com.
Mm-hmm.
And or anytime you want to just email Daphne. Daphne is just a wonderful conduit of amazing resources. So I would have you be the center of influence for people and things. But
okay.
I definitely look forward to seeing everyone at the conference.
Mm-hmm.
And I look forward to helping people understand that they are the lighthouse. They look out, and they have to scan. They
mm-hmm.
have to trust their judgment more. And I'm hopeful that you'll have me back to talk to more about the tactics of how do you trust your judgment more.
Yeah, but before you go, you have 6 minutes. If
yeah.
you choose to read a portion of the book, would you like to do that? You could
use the six minutes
to do that.
Oh, that would be fantastic. Let me go ahead and read. The afterword starts with, "We have an imperfect and positive duty to seek our own perfection and the happiness of others." Some people who read this book, especially younger people, will find it an affirmation of their instincts and beliefs. Some will find much of what we've discussed new but sensible, and we suspect another group, especially those who have decades of leadership under their belts, may find it radical and perhaps even in direct conflict with what they've learned over the years or what they think they've learned. To all of these groups, we'd like to say that we have seen these ideas put to work in a wide variety of small businesses, government agencies, and nonprofit organizations. They work. They can provide efficiency, productivity, and profit. They can also improve job satisfaction and working relationships. They can make positive impact on everyone, from the organization's leadership to its lowest level employees. Strategy Leadership in the Self, at its core, asks you to think about your organization, your people, and yourself in new and deeper ways. It is a call to thoroughly perceive both the outer world and the inner world and to unite these understandings. It is a call to consciousness. It is a call to personal responsibility. It's a call to harmonize your organization. It's a call to elevate your people. It is a call to know your soul and the soul of the organization and to see that at it there's a heart to everything that you do. It is a call to embrace diversity and encourage it. It is a call to use your energy wisely. It's a call to make flexibility and adaptability a core competence. It's a call to share power in order to multiply organizational strength. And finally, it is a call to consider your possibilities unlimited. Once upon a time, if you were the strongest beast, you could be pretty sure of winning. Later, you won by dominating through wealth. After that, in the age of international corporations and conglomerates, size meant victory. Today, whoever has the most information or customer knowledge will come out ahead. But this paradigm is undergoing another change. Tomorrow, we are convinced the organizations with the clearest understanding of reality and with the highest level of consciousness will be the winners because they will be able to see signs in the macro environment that are invisible to others. This is your challenge. And that's the end of the afterword.
Powerful, powerful, powerful. Now I see the reason why that will be the last business book that anybody needs to read, because this is going to be the Bible for the entrepreneurs and the small business people. You read that quickly, so you still have 3 minutes. What would you like to do with your 3 minutes?
Well, I think, are there any questions in your audience by any chance?
I have not seen anybody coming with any, and there's nobody calling in. But however, with 6 minutes leaving, listeners, you can still call in, and the number to call is 646-915-8166. And I'm going to ask Jennifer a question pertaining to the book. Do you have a co-author, right?
Yes, I do. I do.
All right. I want to ask this question. I want to ask you whether you could arrange for your co-author and yourself to be on the show next Wednesday.
I will definitely work on that with him, for sure.
Because seeing that we started it off this week,
yeah,
I want to keep it fresh in the people's minds.
Okay.
So you confirm with me, and the show is between 10 and 12. We could give you the first segment, so you confirm it, and then we'll take it from there. So just to encourage the listeners, because I know you whet their appetites, and I know they want to hear more. But right now she mentioned that the book is on pre-sale, right?
Correct.
To the launch, you can go to agility3r.com. And the link is there for the book. Pick your copy up, because it would be a great thing if they come on the show next week. And as we are going through the conversation, you have your copy in your hand. You could go along with the conversation. Depending on how quickly they ship it to you, you could read and have some questions that you would be ahead of the people who really didn't pick their copies up yet. So I'm excited about that, Jennifer. I apologize that we're not able to have a longer conversation, but at least we were able to whet people's appetites. And I do pray that we can have you and your co-author on next Wednesday or the Wednesday after, but I would prefer this Wednesday, seeing that it's fresh in people's minds.
And what I'd like to say just for a couple minutes about, my co-author's name is Kobe Huberman,
mm-hmm,
and Kobe actually lives in Israel outside of Tel Aviv. And what I love about our collaboration is that we met in a conference in 2005, and we just met each other because we were having a dinner conversation and realized that we had the same observations. I had always worked with businesses that had 200 employees or fewer.
Mm-hmm.
And he had always worked in billion-dollar conglomerates. And the fact is, you know, he's a baby boomer in terms of that generation. I'm a Generation X. He happens to be Jewish. I happen to be Catholic.
Mm.
I happen to be kind of spunky. And he happens to be conservative. So we actually wrote this book from different vantage points.
My God.
And to me, I think that how it was written and how our voices come together with the same observations is actually more interesting, I think.
Yes.
So these observations must have a transcendence to them.
Yes.
Because from different worlds, we came to the same agreement. So I would
exactly
be honored if you would
yes,
be willing to have us both as your editor.
Oh, yes. Please work on that, Jennifer. We only have 2 minutes remaining here. And that's going to be a powerful conversation for the world to listen to, especially in a time like this. And I just pray. Go ahead.
No, I was just going to say to the listeners, I have to say what a gift Daphne has been in my life as an amazing conduit. And so I hope that you're following her on Twitter. I hope that you're following her on Facebook. I am so lucky to be included in her vision. And I just, again, I think of her as a center of influence. So I you know, and sometimes when people are leaders, they don't realize that they might need some feedback. So if you love
yes.
Daphne, send her a ping and just tell her how much you love her, because she's holding up so much for us. And
thank
I just
you.
Want your listeners to give you lots of love. And I certainly feel honored to be on your team. And I look forward to learning more about your audience. Audience, please, this is an active conversation.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. We'll be talking soon. So work on that show.
Thanks, Daphne.
Thank you. Love, Jennifer.
Talk to you soon.
Bye-bye.
Praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Begin to thank Him. Begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Can you see it? Can you feel it? Everybody, you're going into a new dimension tonight. You'll never ever see it again the same way. You'll never ever touch it again the same way. You've been called with a great call. It's a monumental call. You've been called to change nations and generations.